It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and we have almost a full house. One chair is empty in that room. Well, welcome in, Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And everybody got here so early.
Except for me, I got here late.
Well, you're relatively speaking, because I'm always early.
You're entitled. You're entitled. And we even have Janet Manko on the phone. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And how are you?
Great. How are you guys?
I'm not great, but I'm okay.
You know, one day at a time, we make it.
We're in a good mood because we had this fantastic Tri-State Chamber of Commerce party at our office, which sounds so staid, and it was just rocking. It lasted about an hour longer than it was supposed to. Everybody was having a wildly good time.
It was really great. It was so great to have so many people come into our relatively new space there in Falls Village on Route 7, and we've only been there since October, so it's the first time we've done a business after hours like this, and we were happy to see Sally Wilburn there from Robin Hood Radio, and also our associate editor, Alexander Wilburn's mom, and so many other people who just came in and had a great time.
Well, that's good. Well, congratulations.
We had all of the political candidates who were all, except for, so we had Craig Miner, Brian Oler, Maria Horn, Roberta Willis, Bill Riska. It was a giant, and nobody was campaigning. Everybody was just partying. It was great. And then they all went on to their nominating meetings.
Nominating conventions. Yep. And they were all nominated.
They were all nominated. It's not exactly a nail-biter.
No, not really. All right. Well, let us get to...
What if you went to a nominating convention and weren't nominated?
The state Republican committee was not what... I mean, the governor thing, he's going to be primaried, so that was a nail-biter.
That's right.
Yeah, and apparently the 5th District was a nail-biter.
Yeah. All right, so now, there's no nail-biting here. Let's go take a look at the paper. Look at that, a nice rainbow on right there on the top of the front page.
So, Anne, do you want to talk about your beautiful photo?
Well, so, yes.
Snappy, snappy, come on, we're on the radio.
So, I looked out the window, and there it was, and I took a picture, and it was unbelievable. I thought I was dreaming.
The nice thing about the picture is you can see the hills in the way, way background.
Yep.
They've got sun, and then all of a sudden it gets darker and darker underneath. Yeah, it really is a great rainbow
picture.
It was
a true rainbow.
It's a double rainbow.
It was unbelievable.
Oh. And on the way here this morning, the fog over Long Pond, Much Pond, is unbelievable. It's always beautiful, but today was the most exquisite fog I've seen.
Absolutely. I was attempted to stop and take pictures myself. You know, I thought that's a great opportunity. Right, yeah, me
too,
the rainbow.
I'm sorry. I want to be late.
We leave that up. We leave the pictures up to Anne.
I always wait for Anne to say, like, even I can't shoot that. And I'm like, yeah. Just like,
all right. We'll go on the right side. The Region 1 budget passed on first try again this year.
Doesn't that seem like it happened so long ago? I mean, it happened. But good news, which is these two stories are twinned. The state officials say new budget is fine. And the Region 1 budget passes. Last year at this time of year, it was very anxious. We didn't really know what the state was going to do. We didn't know about education cuts. We didn't know about town funding cuts. We didn't know if the regional budget was going to be repackaged. So everything is now passed. Big sigh of relief. And the towns are all moving toward their town meeting votes and can happily know that the numbers they've budgeted for are going to be the numbers that they will move into the new year with.
All right, and even though it happened in Millerton, Saperstein's is a tri-state tradition, and Lou Saperstein, they had that big party for him.
And, of course, the Buckley family, famously, Bill Buckley, whenever he talks about the local area, always says, it was an annual ritual. The family would go to Saperstein's to buy our summer clothes. But a wonderful party thrown by my friend James Hendrick, who is the new owner of the building and is working on plans to turn it into sort of a retail and office center. You know, you don't realize it. It's such a
it's
new
huge.
Generation, but it's huge.
Right.
Yeah, and they just, you know, it's funny because now we all shop at these big box stores, and Saperstein seems enormous to us, but it is for Millerton, and he's probably going to have multiple vendors in there as he has at the former BW's Eagle Eye space.
Well, people often forget about the downstairs in there as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
my
know.
God. I love
the downstairs.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's where all the Levi's were. I remember Levi's.
That's right. All right.
Sticky.
All right. You've got a story, Cynthia. Another crash. This one in Bark Hampstead, which left two people dead.
Horrible. We've had two fatals in one week. And, of course, still feeling the aftermath of the first crash from last week. Dee Dee Silvernail, and of course, who was killed. and the two other young ladies in the car with her, but also Brian Hastings, who is, you know, my daughter's high school teacher, a wonderful guy, and is in the hospital still. But we had a crash of two young men in their 20s versus another gentleman in his who is 61, and both drivers died, and the passenger in the other larger of the two pickups was in serious condition. We don't have an update on that. But it was pickup versus pickup, both landscaping companies, and very tragic. So as a reminder to everybody, especially as we move into the end of the school year, when everybody's very excited, a lot of excited teenagers on the road, everybody needs to slow down a little bit, and that includes me.
All right. Now, we're going to clip this picture, this article out, and give it to Maddie McAvoy, because she went to Niagara Falls a week ago, and one of the first things she had to do when she came back was have her hair completely redone, because she went on the damn Maid of the Mist, and it cost us a half a day of work.
That's what happens. That's not entirely true, but it makes a good story.
Yeah.
And the Maid of the Mist is the Maid of the Mist.
It's the boat that goes around.
Yep.
And yes, as we know, it is quite wet at Niagara Falls. Interesting story from Bernie Drew about water power. And this reminds me of the White Hart has just sent out its listing of author talks coming up for the summer. They only sent out two, but one of them is Simon Winchester, who's so brilliant and is from Western Massachusetts. And has been very active at all of our local libraries and often gives talks. But he's got a new book out about precision engineering, which I just bought yesterday, and it's fantastic. And Ande is indicating that she's doing something on it.
Yes, we will have a review of it by Wiley Wood.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that's exciting. And keep an eye out for those White Hart oblong talks.
All right, and look at that picture of your intern picture.
Got the best week.
Got that sly smile.
Look, he's just happy. He's in a coma. How was your first week, Matt?
Well, it was fantastic, and I'm surprised that we used that photo rather than one of the ones Alex took. I mean, he's such a great photographer. Yeah, it was awesome though. I took that photo when I went to Lime Rock on my third day, I believe. There was some nice gentlemen from a Audi club.
Audi car club.
Yeah, that were at the track that day, and they offered to take me on a ride along. So I had to take a photo inside the car.
How many laps did you get to do?
Oh, it was like 30 laps with two different drivers. I mean, it wasn't just hot laps, as they call them, or one hot
like
lap.
Hot
it
lap.
was like 15 of them. It was unbelievable, and they weren't holding back. So a treat, you know, to say the least, this last week has been.
And who did you interview on Monday?
Well, on Monday, as it briefly mentions in the article in this week's edition, I interviewed Aurora Strauss, who is a 19-year-old race car driver coming to Lime Rock Memorial Day weekend, and she's absolutely phenomenal, currently leading the points in her class. So it was a good interview, and that'll be in next week's edition.
The issue of the 24th. And so Aurora Strauss is going to be at Lime Rock Park on singing the national anthem on Saturday. She's a girl who does everything,
yeah.
And she'll be racing on Monday in a BMW.
All right, inside, I love the pictures of, first of all,
the fox.
But, and at the picture, once again, the bear is looking at you as if to say, yeah.
I just said, work it, baby, work it.
Shake your hair, all of it.
She looked at me and then, you know, struck a pose. She was so close to my house, and she was not one bit afraid of me.
No, they're not. They're... and that's where people have to learn that as cute and as amazing and lovely, everybody loves bears. But you get up close to them, and all of a sudden, that love turns to a little should turn to fear, because they're big, huge animals.
Just so you know, Marshall, I was about 1 inch outside my door.
That's good.
I did not get close to her, but my dog was barking at her. Yeah. And then I chased her in my car. I jumped into my car and chased her, because I don't want her to think that our house is a place to come back to.
And now she'll do it just in spite.
Maybe, because they don't run away very far.
No, they don't. Yeah, they go someplace where they can hide, and then they come back out. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, we're going to page A3 in Wasaic, the Wasaic Project, once again.
Yeah, they had their big spring opening. There's some super interesting art, very complex, a lot of pattern, which is, you know, art as as fashion moves through different changes. So great pictures from Caitlin Lyle and a great story, and the artwork is open. And my friend Henry Klimowitz has a huge installation there that's one of the coolest things he's ever done. It's like a multi-story cardboard thing with creatures living in it. And super groovy. So go to wasaicproject.org to find out the hours and stuff. But also the Lantern is there, which is the best pizza in the world. And they have a big outdoor eating area. And it's lit at night, and it's fun.
All right, the Weird, Worrisome, and Beauty Transylvania.
I didn't even ask Alex to go to this. He just went because he loves this woman. She's so funny, he thinks. Velia Jantz Urban was speaking at the Douglas Library, and she was talking about life in the Gilded Age. And I don't know why, but Alex just, you know, like my daughter, who's very gothic, they're fascinated by how difficult lives were for these women. So a very funny story from Alexander, and I highly recommend that you read it.
All right, and on page A4, as involving as the headline I've ever seen, the first second Saturday raises hopes for the second.
It's very who's on first. You have to pay attention when you're reading the Lakeville Journal. So down at the Kent Barns, which is that wonderful sort of shopping retail area in the village that the Hiram Williams Group has been putting so much energy into getting really interesting stores and creating a lot of buzz. And the shopkeepers decided that they want to have a second Saturday event. They're going to have bands. They're going to have talks. They're going to have all sorts of groovy stuff. The first one was damp, but, you know, it's like with pancakes. The first one sometimes you have to throw out. But I'm thinking that once the weather gets nice, it's going to be very groovy.
All right, Sharon, they approved their budget. The Falls Village budget vote is May 22nd. But the important story, I think, on this page.
Yes.
The Depot Party will be held July 28th. That's at the bottom of a story about North Canaan. But
yeah,
that's a nice headline because it gives us hope.
Matt, what did we do yesterday?
Well, we had the chance to go to the Depot with North Canaan's first selectman. And he just kind of showed us around all the progress that they made on the depot, gave us a little tour. And
had you ever been inside the depot in your lifetime?
No, I had not been in the depot. I moved to Canaan in 2005, I believe 4 years after the fire ever took place. My uncle had been in there before, but yesterday was my first time in the depot, and it was great. We saw the old ticket window that they saved from the fire.
Yep.
So
it's very exciting because having gone through that building since it was rubble all the way through the early stages of construction to now, to me, I walk through and I go like, wow, there's stairs and walls here. Mm-hmm. But for you, it must have just looked like, oh, there's stairs and walls here. it's a big deal. And apparently their permits are all getting lined up for the brewery, and they seem, you know, Charlie Parati is just the most patient guy and just is like, yeah, whatever. But he seems to think that they're going to be open in time for railroad days.
All right. Now, I've read your story on the kiosk, you know, and I've seen kiosks at other McDonald's, and I know the corporate line is, oh, no, we'll be able to hire more people.
Sure.
I seriously doubt it, but it's kind of weird when you go into a McDonald's and there's a kiosk and you can order from there and you just go to your table and
wait. You know, that's the different thing is nowadays you go to McDonald's and you get table service. I went to the one down, and I think it's in Dover, and this very nice woman with a limited command of English came, and she showed me how to, like having your 15-year-old show you how to use your phone. She came over and she was like, press that. And it's actually very, very easy. And they had this nice young man running around, and they were like pointing him to the tables and sending him off with trays and delivering food.
Well, God bless the McDonald's. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't forget, farmers market season begins. Yep. We've got the two Cornwall markets starting this weekend. We've got Salisbury. I know they're very excited about an expanded market in Salisbury on the lawn of the Scoville Memorial Library. And I think Norfolk might already have been started.
Oh, they went through the winter and everything. They're 12 months.
That's a really good one. Yeah. And Kent is in a new location, so read the article to find out where it's going to be. But we're very excited. And North Canaan's not doing, you know, really, you can only have so many farmers markets. As we're all thinking about our gardens and what we're going to plant for the summer, remember that somebody has to support the farmers. So buy your tomatoes from Charlie Paley and the farm markets.
All right. The addiction talk, which was held this past week.
Interestingly, a guy who's sort of a comedian but also had struggled with addiction gave a talk at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, gave actually three of them for different age groups, parents, high school kids, and younger kids. Patrick went to the one for the high school kids, and he said that it was just, and Patrick's gone to a lot of these, he said it was an oddly muted response, and he wasn't sure if it was just, even though it was funny, if maybe it just hit a little too close to the bone. Mm-hmm. That's one of the teachers also thought that maybe that's what happened, but you know, interesting reminder. And, you know, Matt and I were talking to the resident trooper in North Canaan yesterday, And do you want to recap what you that conversation you had with him about addiction and about the DARE program and what your expectation was of who an addict is? Do you remember that?
Well, basically he talked about the DARE program that is still taught to the children at the elementary schools and in fifth grade now is sixth grade in my time. But one of the things they do is they have people who have struggled with addiction in the past or are still recovering. They'll come into the schools to talk with the children. And it's amazing because they look like, you know, normal people just like us, everyday people. And our resident state trooper, he said his thought process whenever he sees those people is kind of just what went wrong, like, because these people, they look like, you know, good, clean people. So where did it go wrong?
Yeah. Scary.
I want to move on because we only have about 10 minutes left to the editorial page. And it's interesting, Janet, I'll talk to you about this, the personal side of immigration enforcement, talking about the three-part series that John Carter is going to write. And the first column he writes is about a recent ICE arrest in Armenia. I remember years ago, a local immigrant who was in our area who made a foolish mistake by parking his car on the side of the road, been going to the bathroom, and the police came, and he was arrested and held by ICE and deported. Just that simple. And it's a problem that's obviously going to get worse and worse, even for towns like ours.
That's correct. Anybody who thinks it's not happening here or it doesn't apply to this area for some reason will have their eyes opened by the Reverend John Carter's series. And he, as you will see if you read it, is that he retired as an Episcopal priest. You know, he had been at St. John's in Salisbury for 15 years, and he's now the director of Escena Seguros, dedicated to supporting undocumented people and their families. And you should read this because these folks are so much a part of the fabric of our communities and our society and help us to function here. And you know them and you live with them every day, and their kids go to school with our kids, and it gives a different viewpoint. And we have a very courageous person whose name I won't say here. You can read it in the paper, who talked about her experience, and this is what we'll learn about from John's articles, and we also write about this in the editorial.
All right. Now, you've got letters to the editor, but you also have your insightful columns, the Price of Torture, and also the Correspondents' Dinner, which has really gotten out of control because people forget what it is. Maybe they should label it something else. It's harmful to journalism. I don't agree with that headline, but it's something that's gotten so big in an entertainment value that I really think they should rethink the name of it.
Yes, and Dick Aulis talks about this from the viewpoint of understanding the complete history of this dinner and another dinner that's for broadcast and radio correspondents, and he will give you perspective on what it's supposed to be and what it's become and maybe what it should be going forward. And
if anybody knows the history of this, it really started to go off the rails when Don Imus it was always comedians always made fun of the president.
Right.
But it really went off the rails then and has since then never gotten back on the rails.
No, it seems that it's one-upsmanship every year. Everybody who comes on as a comedian wants to do something even more outrageous than the one before.
And they're funny, but there's a place for funny and there's a place for certain types of funny.
Right. The president can handle it, not so much his press secretary, you know.
Yeah.
Generally, maybe this year, but anyway.
But you've got some great columns there.
We do. Really don't miss Mark Godburn's A Visit to the Gray Lady. Really interesting.
And, well, I want to go to the next page because septic in Cornwall just won't go away.
I know. But you know what? They had a really great meeting and a lot of people turned out. And, you know, this is democracy. It's like you should really, if you're concerned about the septic system, come out to the meeting and find out about it and express your opinion. And we've had the people from that Septic Group have been very good about calling us up and saying, we really want some coverage in the newspaper, which I would say is not what commissions and boards and study groups normally do. So, you know, bravo to them, and they're moving forward on that. And, of course, that's a key issue to commerce in West Cornwall. And as we're all talking about ways, I'd say Cornwall is particularly active in looking for ways to increase tourism and also to bring more people in to live there. And the septic system and what's going to happen to it is essential. But, of course, it's right in the river, so they're worried about that.
Right. And soon to be a movie. I love the story by Shaw, Four Arrested in the Cupcake Case.
No, what happened to that's
an unbelievable story.
Yeah, and I think that I would say there's a lot we don't know, but Shaw did a little follow-up. He had done the original story. Four high school kids did something with cupcakes that we don't know, and I don't think I want to know, but yeah. But the arrest was for sexual assault, so you can let your imagination unfortunately run wild.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. And then Matt went to see a tennis match that his friend was in and wrote about it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It was a great match. Both undefeated teams going into the match. And unfortunately, Hoosie didn't walk away with the win, but it was still awesome, great tennis.
It was Litchfield versus Hoosie, and whoever won was going on to the Berkshire League. Mm-hmm. They just missed it.
All right. We must go to Compass.
We must.
I'll be fast, Marshall.
Oh, you can be medium fast.
Well, don't forget we have towns and villages. We must discuss.
Okay,
towns.
Then be
yes,
fast.
We do have towns and villages. We have a wonderful story about Joe Ciccio, who's written a book called Friends Bearing Gifts. Joe lives in Warren, Connecticut, in a spectacularly beautiful house, but his book is really about his friendships with famous people and the gifts that they gave him. There's all these mementos that he has from Audrey Hepburn and Lauren Bacall and Slim Keith and Bill Blass and all those glamorous, beautiful people from the 60s and 70s and 80s. And Joe was he started out as a window designer at Lord & Taylor. And from being a window designer, he ended up as the CEO of iMagnon and president of retail shops and merchandising for five Atlantis hotels. Anyway, he's a merchandiser. He's a wonderful, interesting person, and Leon wrote a nice review. We also have a preview of an event that's happening on May 20th at the Time Out Foundation in Lime Rock, which there'll be three different horse groups who all do good deeds with horses and therapy. There's a woman who's written a book called Our Horses Ourselves, which basically talks about how horses can be used in therapy. Then there's another group called the Equus Effect that helps veterans build healthy relationships in all areas of their life, using horses for that. Moving on, we have a review of a show at Maple Brook. There's an annual art show there, and we've featured a painter who grew up on the campus of the Millbrook School. He does spectacularly beautiful landscapes, and this is his first local show. There's five or six paintings in the exhibition, and that's it for this week.
Well, with that being said, we have about a minute and a half left, and there on the front page of Town and Villages, the Jane Lloyd Fund Clambake.
And the man himself, Kenny Barker, spearing some corn husks. So we have our annual Towns and Villages, which is one of our most important special supplements, and it includes information of about each of our towns that we cover, and even some towns that we don't cover, and phone numbers for key services. But of course, nowadays, much of the information is on the internet, and you can find the internet web address for each of these towns. The inspiration for this issue was a book that my friend Joe Nosofsky gave me, which is about feeding people who are out fighting the good fight and going out and protesting, and somebody's got to make dinner. But what we did was we flipped it around and we talked about people who are fighting the good fight and funding it by cooking dinner. So each of the towns in our areas has multiple food-related fundraisers, and so we did profiles of all of them. They're all very interesting. In my dream world, we would have a recipe from each of them, but nobody's giving up their recipe. So we've got Thanksgiving in here. We've got lasagna. So it's a very interesting issue, and we have a recipe from the cookbook as well.
And there's a lobster bake this weekend.
That's right. May 19th, the Masons in Salisbury.
It starts, yeah. That's
and you have to reserve by May 18th, but the funds raised from that sale are going to help the Silvernail family pay for funeral expenses for Dee Dee Silvernail.
They pick a different charity each time when they do them.
And, that's
and this is a very special one.
And they're pound and a half lobsters.
Pound and a half lobsters and clams.
All right. And you can order them alive or cooked.
I always get them cooked. They'll smack them for you, too. The phone number is in the Lakeville Journal, both in a brief and in an ad.
All right. And there's much more than that on Lakeville Journal. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. You'll find them on the web at tricornernews.com, also on Facebook.